Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Welcome everybody to Wednesday War Games. We are back in the new year, in a new decade of the Wednesday Night Wars. This Wednesday Night Wars has been spanning two decades, Liam.
I wanted to be the first one to make a stupid decade joke.
I got there within the first 15 seconds, so you really have to step up your game.
I was waiting until, like, we started talking about AEW and be like, wow, AEW is really winning this decade.
The best episode of All Elite Wrestling of the decade, but also the worst.
AEW has had 100% success rate, while NXT has had a 0% success rate on shows in the desk aid, is what I was going to say. Who is your favorite member of the Ring of Honor stable of the decade?
I don't know who's in the decade. Who was in the decade?
Hangman Page.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say BJ Whitmer.
This is going downhill.
And Jimmy Jacobs.
It's Hangman Page.
It should be Jimmy Jacobs if you were a real pro wrestling fan.
How was your Christmas, Liam? Did you enjoy it? We had a week off. People have gone a week without listening to the sound of our voice. You have to update them on how everything went.
I don't give a rip about Christmas.
We weren't singing Christmas carols under the candlelight.
Probably not. I might have. I don't
Dashing
recall.
Dashing through the snow.
In a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, where we go.
It's over the fields we go, not over.
Laughing
you have to drop the beat.
All the way.
Solid performance.
Thank you.
As you're unscrewing lids, as usual.
I was playing with plastic, which is even worse because it has no value to the podcast. At least when I'm unscrewing lids, it's because I'm trying to lubricate my voice.
Yeah, stop getting distracted by things around you.
I got so many knickknacks. No one cares about wrestling. I don't know what knickknacks I have.
Go on.
I have a Just Men shower gel kit, which comes with socks, apparently. This was actually one of my Christmas presents, ironically.
So you'll smell nice and your feet will be clean, and then you'll have something to put on.
This is a live unboxing.
Makes sense.
I'm going to review these socks. Alright, unzip. They are green and stripy, which is somewhat in the Christmas spirit, I imagine. Oh god, these got tight socks. They go to the middle of the shin.
That's very high.
Do you like a high sock or are you a low sock kind of guy?
I'm more of a low sock kind of guy.
I am traditionally a high sock kind of guy, but lately I've converted to the sports anklet sock, and I've been wearing them quite frequently.
It is very warm where you are right now.
It's on fire, mostly.
It's very on fire.
And what are the knickknacks? This is the knickknack podcast. I have lip balm. Mm. Are you a user of the lip balm?
No, what I mostly do is lick my lips.
Ugh, it's not good for your lips, allegedly.
Why? That's literally your bodily fluid. It can't be that bad.
Yeah, but you don't just ingest all bodily fluid.
Why not?
It's probably not good for you in the long run. And
listen, when I vomit something up, I eat it back down. That's the way it works.
I have another Christmas present here. I have a Star Wars action figure, as I apparently am now a budding Star Warsian.
Well, who is it of?
It is of Rey.
Is it Kylo Ren?
It's of Rey.
Ooh.
I support women in cinema.
Yeah.
It's not a bad figure, you know? I appreciate the uniformity of Star Wars figure packages.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the Star Wars figures before?
No, I haven't.
They come in the standard black box, and they're on their 100th series now, I believe. And
that's a lot of action figures.
Yes.
Well, I assume it's, what, 6 per series? 7?
It doesn't actually say on the back, which is normally what they do. But all of the boxes are basically the same, at least for the black series, from my understanding. I don't know a lot about them, but I appreciate a figure series that can stick to the same box, unlike the WWE figures, which change like every 10 sets, I suppose.
Mm.
And I also have some Yu-Gi-Oh cards, which have been sitting here for 5 years, I think.
Ooh. Mm. Is there a Blue Eyes White Dragon there?
No, this is a zombie deck.
Oh.
Oh, I have a DVD. I have a mystery DVD.
Ooh, what is it?
It's a Ring of Honor DVD, a compilation DVD.
That's unfortunate.
Ring of Honor, From Love to Hate, The Jimmy Jacobs Story, Disc 2.
Mm.
My Jimmy Jacobs fandom coming through in spades on this podcast.
A lot of Jimmy Jacobs adjacent things happening here.
Much like this show.
Well, yeah, he's on it. Hangman Page is on it, which is adjacent to the decade. So there you go. It all ties together. NXT wasn't on this week.
What a hot start
to
this podcast.
Yeah, Liam opens his Christmas presents.
Yeah, do you have any Christmas presents within arm's reach?
All of them are open. I have a Stitch that's in a Halloween garb with a pitchfork.
Very Christmassy.
Yes, but I do love Stitch. Stitch is adorable.
I'll provide my final... Oh, sorry. Continue. I don't mean to cut you off.
A Super Mario mug.
You got a lot of knickknacks. You seem like a knickknack guy.
I'm a very on-brand kind of guy. Most of my presents... Oh, and actually, tickets to Scrappermania 6.
Which is going to be headlined by what, Garrett? Prediction.
Scotty Davis against David Starr.
In a death match.
Sure. There you go. Those are all the Christmas presents I have within eyesight.
I was going to say, at the end of the podcast, I'll provide a sock review.
Mm.
You know...
Or you'll faint before the end when the circulation is cut off to your legs.
Or from the smoke in the air.
That's a chance too.
You know, this is a big show for us. We have awards.
Oh, yes, we do.
We have the first... AEW and the first and best AEW show of the decade.
Mm-hmm.
And an NXT clip show, I guess. But we have a lot of things to talk about. And we've spent the first 5 minutes of a normally 1 hour long podcast talking about the sordid knickknacks.
Listen, we're going to spend like 2 minutes on NXT this week. So really, we have to compensate.
Yeah. This is going to we're going to steal the flagship bit of just having 30 minutes of nothing at the start.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to get by on our personalities alone.
No, we're doomed.
No, we're both too soft-spoken, apparently.
We're two nice young gentlemen who cannot match the king of banter.
I don't think I'm soft-spoken, but I've been told that now.
You're definitely soft-spoken. You have a nice, soft, pleasant Australian accent. I think it's just the accent as opposed to how you speak.
All right. So, I'm trying to put energy in it, but I still come across as soft-spoken.
Yes.
An eternal struggle that I will face. Oh, I have a letter.
Who's it from?
Should I open it? I'm opening this letter. What's in it?
It's a letter from Tony. It's a cease and desist from Tony Khan.
Letter ASMR. It's from Vic Rhodes.
Who's that? Cody's brother?
Vic Rhodes. Oh, it's my driver's license.
You can drive now?
This is my full driver's... This is my mum's full driver's license.
Why do you have it?
I don't know. She probably needs that.
She's been pulled over. It's like, I have it here somewhere.
This has been here for 2 months. Oh, boy. Well, there we go. Good thing I did open that. I also thought my mum's photo was me. So
I'm sure the resemblance is uncanny.
Yeah, we both have long hair.
NXT last week. I was going to watch NXT last week, but then I forgot to wake up.
You made
up
me watch it.
I did. I was like,
you said it was for professionalism. I watched about 50 minutes of it, and then I skipped through the rest.
We've got to watch last week's NXT. They aired it on Christmas Day. Come on, what are they doing? Like, why didn't they put the matches they had last week on this week's episode and do the best of last week? What are they doing?
Didn't they do hella numbers, though?
Well, they did 850,000 or something, but, like, they were that's unopposed on Christmas Day, so...
Yeah, but that just means that a lot of people are fucking losers who have the USA Network.
Yeah, when you're like, oh, I've got to watch NXT on Christmas. It's like, not even
NXT. I'm going to watch, like, the worst version of NXT.
Yeah, I'm going to watch boring taped matches from 2 weeks ago.
Are we just going to skim through this?
Apparently Roderick Strong and Austin Theory was very good.
Well, yeah. That's the one match I have anything to say about, really. Is Austin Theory and Roderick Strong fucked hard, as the kids say.
Oh, sorry. I'm in the Brian Alvarez role here, so I've got to sit back in my chair and go, Liam, take us to NXT.
Let me get some papers so I can shuffle notes.
Oh, God. You're really attacking these poor listeners' ears today.
It's ASMR. They're all perverts anyway. So, Austin Theory, Roderick Strong was really, really good. It was 18 minutes long.
Very long. Would I have given out about how long it was?
No, because it escalated really well, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't one of these just long for the sake of being long matches. I do have a Mauro quote from it, too.
Oh, wonderful.
When it comes to chops, Roderick Strong has more slaps than the Beatles.
That's the second time he used the slaps by the Beatles line.
Son of a bitch.
In like 2 weeks. It was probably the same taping, and it's just like, I'll just roll out my lines.
He also used the word chiclets twice on this show.
In relation to what?
I don't know. I just wrote the note chiclets used for the second time.
Okay.
When I was watching this match, it was Austin Theory reminds me of young Randy Orton.
That's fair.
Like, just like, kind of a pretty dude, cocky dude, really athletic.
Tall.
And the way he sells is a lot like young Orton too, where he'll go from like trying to be somewhat stoic and cool guy, but then he'll like over-exaggerate his facial expressions.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just an interesting point that I noticed.
So what you're saying is he'll be good for like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years and then stop trying completely?
And then he'll have a really good feud with Christian.
Yeah.
Pat McAfee? How do you say his name?
I think it's McAfee.
Him and Sam Roberts are awful, and I never want to see them ever.
Why were they on NXT?
They were okay. So do you know what? Not know what the show actually was?
No, not at all.
It was three matches, I think, from Full Sail.
Right.
And three matches from SmackDown tapings at Barclays, and in between the matches, they cut to Pat McAfee, Sam Roberts, and is it Dasha, I think? I really didn't pay attention.
Didn't Dasha go to AEW?
Well, then it's not Dasha, it's the other one. And they kept cutting in between them all. Kathy Kelly, it was. And they would just have like little quips about the matches in between. And they were all wearing red.
Okay.
Yeah, it was boring and it was bad, but go watch the Austin Theory Roderick Strong match.
There you go, that's NXT covered for you this week.
Yeah, I mean, they also announced a match for Worlds Collide.
Oh, good. Will I be excited by it?
I mean, maybe. How do you feel about 8-man tags?
Usually indifferent.
The Undisputed Era will face Imperium at Worlds Collide.
That's cool enough, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they were putting over, like, Walter as this big deal, which would actually be good if Walter was a big deal.
If they didn't bury him at Survivor Series?
Or make him go 50-50 with everyone he faces.
Yeah, this company's stupid.
Yeah, that's really it for NXT. The only thing of note from the Brooklyn shows was that Isaiah Scott and Jack Gallagher really kept the crowd, unlike the other two NXT matches. And Keith Lee isn't as over as you'd think in front of that audience. He still got a reaction, but I expected like, oh, that guy from Survivor Series. And it didn't feel like that.
No, I think like that match was an effective showcase of Keith Lee, but I don't think anybody cares about Keith Lee.
If he had a pinned Roman, it would have been better.
Yeah.
Or they followed up on it at all.
Or if he wrestled Roman, people would have been into him. But
Keith Lee does the powerbomb on the apron, mm-hmm. which used to be a kill move that would put people out. And he just does it as a move. It's very odd.
And we also had NXT last night, which was an award show, so I only looked at the awards. But who cares about the awards? We have the more important awards coming later in this show, Liam, so we're not even going to talk about NXTs.
The War Game Awards.
Nice. Well done. But also, I think you made that pun during the Game Award. When we were talking about covering the Game Awards, I think you made that same pun. But
did I?
I think so.
Hell yeah. See, I'm on the money. I'm punny.
But we also had the reveal of the Dusty Classic teams, which it's a boring looking tournament.
Except that Time Splitters are going to be in it.
Gallus. You got Gallus.
We're going to see some 2014 New Japan.
Yeah, they're gonna face the Grizzled Young Vets. It's
cool.
Yeah, it'll be fine. I thought I thought the idea of the Dusty Classic was it was people who don't like each other teaming as well. I guess they've thrown that out the window.
Yeah, Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne hate each other.
Forgotten Sons. God, when we were, as you said, when we were putting together the teams because for the awards, we picked four from each company and then another option. But when we were putting together the teams for best tag team of the Wednesday Night Wars, God, it really brought it home how terrible the NXT tag team division is.
It's like, for as much shit as AEW gets for its terrible women's division, NXT deserves the same amount of shit for its terrible tag team division.
It's not even a division. It's Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, and then nobody else.
I considered putting War Machine on it.
Oh, or like Street Profits, even though they've had one match.
War Machine had one match. And I considered putting him on it because I was like, eh, it was good.
Or like the Revival, probably, because they had that other one match. Surprisingly, Forgotten Sons got 0 votes.
Duh. Spoilers. They were my front runners.
That's a teaser for you. So let's go on to AEW Dynamite, the first Dynamite of the year. There was a lot of hand-wringing about AEW toward the end of the year, wasn't there? A lot of like, oh no, AEW, it's all going downhill, it's all tragic, it's all, AEW's terrible, the Dark Order is going to ruin AEW, AEW are in a close, Jon Moxley has an out clause, he's going to leave, AEW is doomed. Then they come back in the new year and have another great show. It's like, well...
Yeah, well, if you were that, like, doom and gloom about it, you were stupid.
There was people that were that kind of that. That was like the tone of the discussion, though. It was very strange.
It's like whenever people say this kind of stuff, I just want to scream in their face, it's been 3 months.
Yeah, they're doing fine.
This company's not closing anytime soon, guys. They will have peaks and valleys like any company ever will. They can't hit it out of the park every single week.
They should, Liam.
Well, then this podcast would be very boring because we know the answer every week.
That was the first, like, 10 weeks of this podcast, though.
Yes, and they were very boring. No, we're great. We're entertaining. We talked about knickknacks.
We opened AEW Dynamite with a video package about how the Elite have been defeated and how they're down and out and how everyone's taken their turf. An idea I would have liked if it was the story they actually told, that like the Elite started this company, they created this platform, then everybody came in and took it from them. I think that would have been a really cool story to tell, but they didn't. They're just like, they're kind of retconning that onto the last 3 months just so this show can have a hook that, oh, the Elite have to get back into their groove.
But maybe that's their key. Like doing these like big one show storylines as opposed to the long term ones.
Taz joined us on commentary because Tony Giovanni is off commentating basketball somewhere again or something, or football or whatever, one of those American sports that I can only watch in short bursts.
I miss you, Tony.
I thought commentary was fun. JR was consciously trying harder. You could tell he was like trying to up his energy levels and put more effort into it and being more enthusiastic and less JR-ful. But.
Jay Awful. I like that. I assume that was a Garrett original.
Yeah, look at me and my puns. You weren't pleased, though. I think you've just gotten sick of the sound of Jay Orr's voice.
I have. I don't want to hear him anymore. I don't want to compare it to PTSD. I was going to say PSD. But it might be PTSD.
You just can't. You've heard him be bad too often that like you just wince. You anticipate it.
Yeah, it's like what it was for Moro until I just started laughing at him.
You should just start laughing at JR. There you go. Problem solved.
Yeah, but I want to like JR. I've given up on Moro. I don't want to give up on you, JR.
I didn't really consciously notice Taz during the show in neither a good way or a bad way. He was fine. He was there.
I like him. I would prefer if it was Taz, Tony, and Excalibur.
We have Chuck Taylor and Excalibur to look forward to on Dark, though. So
Yes. And where is Golden Boy? I assume just busy with other commitments.
Yeah, he's a very busy man because he does like Overwatch League and every esport under the sun. But yeah, he hasn't done much lately, has he?
Robbed for esports caster of the year.
Didn't Shox win that?
Yeah.
Worthy winner. Shox is great.
Yeah, but we got to root for our wrestling boys.
That's true. Darby Allin versus Cody Rhodes opened the show with a damn good match. I think substantially even better than their... which one was that? That was a Fyter Fest, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, substantially better than their Fyter Fest and Fight for the Fallen. They're similar names and being 2 weeks apart during the summer. It's like, which one was which? But this was at Daily's place where Fight for the Fallen was also held. So doubly confusing.
That was the Bucks-Rhodes match, so...
Yes. Yeah, Cody defeated Darby Allin in a damn good match. As I said, much better than that match. I didn't love that match. I thought this match was great.
I didn't have a lot of takes on this match. I watched it, and it was competent, and it didn't bore me, and it had a cool finish.
Yeah, I thought this was a lot of Cody's TV matches, where it's just like, this is a really damn good television wrestling match. And there's not, like, they did some nice stuff around working over the knee and working over the elbow, and Cody sold that real well. And they just had a good match. Oh, I do have to talk about Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson at ringside was Cody's official head coach. And I really liked that, like, at the end, he got up on the apron and, like, shouted for Cody to get the knees up, get the knees up. And he got the knees up and cradled him like he did Sammy Guevara on the first episode of AEW Dynamite. Which, maybe that's a callback. Maybe it's a reflection of how they're getting back to their roots. I don't know. I'm reading too much into that. But I really like the idea...
Yeah, that seems a little reachy.
I really like the idea that Arn is like an actual coach. He's there at ringside, like, calling the play.
He had his notes out. He was making notes. He was writing them down. He was reading. He was researching mid-match.
He was covering his mouth when he was communicating with Cody, just in case Darby Allin can lip-read.
To be fair, if there's one person on the AEW roster that can lip-read, it's definitely Darby Allin.
It really is. So yeah, I liked how they've implemented Arn Anderson into Cody's shtick.
I like Daily's place as a venue to TV.
We're going to get the show on the boat in a couple of weeks as well, so like, good venues for AEW this month.
Darby should coffin drop off the boat.
Into the water, or just...
into Chris Jericho on a floaty.
Nice.
Why am I not given the pen, damn it?
SCU were backstage. They were cutting a promo before they were interrupted by Sammy Guevara, and then we are getting Sammy against Daniels next week.
I like Sammy's gimmick of just showing up and being a prick.
He's an Instagram influencer douche who shows up filming his vlog everywhere, and everyone's like, go away.
And it's the best.
I love him. He's like my favorite character on this show. AEW Women's Championship 4-Way. We had Riho defending against Nyla Rose, Britt Baker, and Hikaru Shida in another damn good wrestling match. There was four damn good wrestling matches on this show. This was a damn good wrestling show where they were just like, all right, we've kind of lost touch of our roots. We've gotten very bitty. We've gotten very away from, I think, the kind of wrestling show people wanted us to produce. So they've started this show. It's just a great wrestling show. And Riho retained in a great wrestling match where... Nyla Rose is ideal in these kind of matches because I don't think she's quite there yet to hold a singles match entirely by herself. Not always, anyway. Whereas in a match like this, she can just get her shit in and kill people. It's ideal.
I'm seeing a lot of stuff on Twitter about people who are not into the Riho title run.
She's the best wrestler on the show.
Yeah, Rio's great. And this title run is really good. It's been like the highlight of each episode that she's wrestled.
Fair enough. I can understand you
next
being...
to Jericho promos.
A little mad that she disappeared, but like every time she wrestles on the show, she's the best wrestler on the show. Like, as much as we've been, I think Hikaru Shida's been great, and Nyla Rose was great in this match. Chris Statlander has been great in recent weeks, but Rio's been the better than all of them consistently.
They turned her absence into a storyline, which I can appreciate.
Yeah, Britt Baker is mad that Britt's here losing every week like a pro.
I'll just get to that now. People on Twitter are acting like that Britt promo was this savior of her character, and it's like, this is what we'd been waiting for this whole time, this Britt promo. And I was like, this promo was fine.
I would have said it was an actively bad promo with you, but
Aaron, I was trying to be nice. I was trying to be political. Yeah, it's bad. It was she just talked so quickly. This wasn't good. I don't know why you're pretending like Britt, this is the savior of the Britt character, and everyone was taking a victory lap on Britt because of it.
Like, you were giving out about Britt in the match. During the match, and I'm like, Britt's been fine in this match, and then she got that promo.
It was bits in the match that I didn't like.
I thought Britt was broadly fine in the match. You know, she did her stuff fine. And then a promo, it's just like, she's rushing through it at a million miles an hour. She's not, like, emphasizing anything. She's not delivering anything. She's just, like, trying to get through her lines.
Yeah, it was about, like, one big long sentence.
Yeah, it's like, breathe, Britt. Breathe. You're a dentist. You should be master of
which
breathing.
She told us this time. If her heel shtick is that she'd make in every promo mention to the dentist, I'll be way into it.
Oh, they're definitely leaning into that. They're 100% she's going to mention she's a dentist all the time.
Afterwards, Nyla murdered Rio, and that'll probably be her out to lose to Statlander next week?
Is it? My thought process there was that that sets up Nyla to be the, what's the name of that show again? Revolution?
Yes.
Be the Revolution challenger while Statlander faces Kong.
Just quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't NXT have a show called R Evolution?
Yeah, no, it was Or Evolution, not a Revolution. It's completely different.
Yeah. Okay.
And cool. TNA had a stable called Revolution.
Yeah, well.
With James Storm. Or I guess like they could still do Nyla against Rio and Kong against Statlander, but like the belt could be on the like if that either of those could be a title match if Statlander wins. So we'll see.
I like how Nyla came back from suspension to immediately receive a title shot.
At least like they mentioned that on commentary again, where it's like, oh, she was so dominant before she got suspended that she's still in title contention even when she's been gone for a month.
Was she, though? She was number 4 on the rankings and had lost, like, every single Dynamite match.
Listen, she only got the title match because Chris Statlander was double booked and they had to give everyone else a... It's fine. Of the debacle that was the Chris Statlander double booking, the worst thing, like, Nyla Rose getting a title shot is probably lowest on the pecking order.
Yeah, she should have just... I don't get in turning down a title match on TNT on an unopposed AEW show.
Well, she had a prior commitment and she honored that commitment.
Cool for her, I guess.
Which, like, that commitment was known about when she became... There's no reason to get into this. This has been gotten into over the last 2 weeks. It was stupid.
Well, we weren't here, so...
But, like that title shot was, like, they knew she was booked on New Year's Day when they gave her the number of contenders. Neither they nor she say at any point, I'm not available on the date of the show in which I have to get this title shot. But, alas, maybe she didn't know when she was getting the title shot when she won number one contendership.
When you're working with talent who are still working indie dates, you might need to let them know that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Maybe they just assumed that she'd take the shot and turn down whatever she was doing.
Well, if you've made a prior commitment, you should honor the prior commitment. She did the right thing. It was AEW that screwed up.
Speaking of screwing up...
God, that low blow segment.
The one miss on this show, I feel.
Well, it was, like, people always give out about stuff like this. It was 20 seconds on the show. Stop it. But
you made the point in the DMs. This was clearly... I hope this is a pre-tape. Mm-hmm. And if it was, they should have done another take.
Yeah, because Joy Janela was being interviewed by... Was it Alex Marvez? Yeah.
Yes.
And Penelope Ford showed up behind him... Kind of low blow. She low blowed him, but it wasn't like a very impactful looking low blow. And then
see the low blow. We saw the reaction.
Yeah, it's just, and then we held
Which
on.
Which is
the
good in theory.
Yeah, we held on the reaction for a few seconds while they like panned up slowly to Kip Sabian being revealed and Penelope Ford as well. And it's just like, what was this? It's just like, no.
Which I guess means the Christmas match with Shawn Spears is the blow-off to that.
I was about to say, yeah, that's the blow-off to the big Shawn Spears and Joy Janela program.
To be fair, that match had Jesus, and you can't get much bigger than Jesus, can you?
Well, WWE had God once, so. Like, God actually wrestled.
I was going to say, God didn't show up, though.
He was booked in the match, though, so.
He no-showed, that's even worse.
The Dark Order are not dead, they are still alive, and they have a leader, an exalted one, as they said. I don't mind the Dark Order being in a mid-card role in the show. It's where they should have been. They should have a mid-card tag team program with Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy, where they're trying to recruit Jungle Boy. That should be their... That's an no-brainer program that's not over-pushing them. It's not putting them into terrible feuds with the Elite, which I think they just kind of blew off here, being like, we've beaten the Elite, it's fine, it's done.
I don't think they're going to give up on that one yet.
I don't think they're going to push them. I don't think whatever they were going to do with the Elite is going to happen.
Yeah, I think a toned down version will happen.
Unless that's, as you predict, the Exalted One is Marty Skrull.
I didn't predict that. I saw that and I thought that was an interesting idea, that the Exalted One was Marty Skrull and that the Dark Order were a subsidiary of Villain Enterprises.
Yes, it's all a business transaction. All of this, it would be funny if the Dark Order like pulled the mask off and just like, milking these people for money. This is basically a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, they take off the masks and they're just, like, we are capitalist pigs, and then David Starr comes in, and boom. Feud of the year. Feud of the decade.
David Starr against Marty Skrull is your big AEW program.
I mean, in 6 years.
John Moxley defeated Trent in another very good match, another very good showcase for Trent as a guy who's losing the bigger stars on the show, but he's gaining from it. Yeah, they're not pushing him right now, so they just have him in good matches against big people on the show. Eventually, he'll get there. John Moxley won. Good match.
It's everything that I wanted from this match. It was cool to see Trent, don't call him Beretta, versus John Mox. Two former IWGP United States challengers? Because I don't think he won it, but they have both competed for the title.
Well, John Moxley won the title. Trent didn't, like a coward.
But he did compete.
During this match, Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor was slapping the apron, you know, trying to get the crowd fired up, and Orange Cassidy next to him just like slowly raised his hand and like just dropped it down nonchalantly on the apron. It was very good.
We need to start getting Orange Cassidy to verse these serious wrestlers.
Yeah, we want a full John Moxley Orange Cassidy program, people, not just a brief hands in the pockets exchange.
Speaking of storylines that got dropped, Nakazawa getting kidnapped.
I think they blew it off on Dark. Did you watch Dark last week?
It was on Being the Elite. What? And the blow-off was, hey, you're all right, Nakazawa? He's like, yeah.
I would have preferred if Pac just held him over Christmas. He's had him for 2 weeks.
That would have been great BTE content if it was Nakazawa having Christmas with Pac.
Yeah, this Christmas dinner, Nakazawa tied to a chair while Pac is eating a turkey. After the match, Sammy Guevara came out and he's like, hey there, Mox. Jericho's not here, so I have to be the person standing in for him. But then Jericho showed up.
And then he was like, did his cool entrance.
Jericho showed up on the screen being like, hey, we have a car for you. You can be executive vice president of the Inner Circle, which is a good line.
He also offered him 49% of Inner Circle LLC.
Yes, which is a company. I assume that's also a subsidiary of Villain Enterprises.
No, it's a rival firm.
I see.
They are law firms, I've decided.
So despite them saying that Moxley would answer this week, Moxley will in fact answer next week.
Yeah, I was wondering, did they actually say that Mox was going to give his answer this week?
I'm pretty sure the graphic was like, will John Moxley answer Chris Jericho? Well, so I guess they technically framed it as a question. But the implication was that he would answer. And they bait and switched us to him because Chris Jericho's probably in Japan.
He's going to answer in Japan. Well, Mox is also going to be in Japan.
Well, Mox clearly more dedicated to AEW because he was there for the show and Chris Jericho wasn't.
I think they were both there for this show.
I think the fact that they did the Jericho video means he's probably already gone.
I think, no, he was out the front. No, he actually is in Japan, isn't he? Because he posted that video with Tanahashi.
Yeah.
Which I suppose this is our cue to talk about that?
The AEW title shot is on the line. Jericho will win and it won't lead anywhere, but it's the seeds. This only ends one way, people. There's only one way these two companies go eventually. I don't think it's in the near future. I still think it's months down the line. But like the gravitational pull of pro wrestling will pull these two companies together whether they want to or not.
Yeah, it's gonna happen, guys. It may not happen. The Bucks and Kenny may not show up January 5th to beat up Ibushi, but it's going to happen eventually.
Unfortunately, Tanahashi did not show up on this episode of AEW Dynamite.
I know, I really wanted him to show up just for the meme of it all. But he shows up and then Jericho's like, I'm in Japan.
It beats up Sammy Guevara.
Oh, he beats up the Inner Circle. That would rule. I think it's really interesting that the announcers are putting over this Jericho offer as a legitimate offer, and they're not going like, oh, this is Jericho trying to get out of fighting Mox, because that's what I thought this story was.
Yeah, it's kind of stupid by the commentators that they're just like, yeah, maybe this isn't a sincere offer from Chris Jericho.
Excalibur, please, one of you.
At least, like, raise the question, yeah. Sammy Guevara defeated Dustin Rhodes after interference from Jake Hager in a... It's fine.
Wait, you're skipping over the cue card promo.
Oh yeah, the Sammy did another cue card promo where he's like, "Hey, Box, accept the offer. Also, what was Victoria Justice's sister? I'd like to bang you. Here's my Instagram account. Slide into my DMs."
I didn't know Victoria Justice A was still relevant. And B, who is her sister? Are these things that like I should be kept up with?
You know me, I'm like a pop culture monolith. So but,
like,
I
Victoria
no
Justice was like when I was like 10.
Yeah, which was like 2 years ago. In fairness,
and that was 12 years ago for sure.
I'm burying you for being a young person.
I'll be 30 this decade. You can't say that to me anymore.
So yeah, also Sammy said he'd break Dustin's hand this time, I think he was.
His hand and his back.
Yes.
And his leg.
He had a nice little diagram of the broken arm.
Which the announcers loved.
Yes.
This match was kind of long and boring though.
Yeah, it was. Dustin did a Canadian Destroyer in the apron, which was cool, I guess. Then Jake Hager did his Hager effect, which is a low blow, and he pinned him. I assume
Hager and Dustin, please. So we can move on to Hager and Darby.
I assume Hager and Dustin is the Revolution match.
That's going to get all those buys.
Yeah, that's the big pay-per-view match. The big Jake Hager debut.
How far away is Revolution?
End of February. It's leap day, so it's 8 weeks away.
Jesus Christ. That's a lot of build.
I'm sure you're excited. Private Party. Backstage with Hangman Page. Hangman Page is drunk. Private Party are obnoxious. Aren't Private Party baby faces?
They weren't obnoxious here.
They're obnoxious every time they're on screen, Liam.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's like, look at those guys. It's not a boo.
It's not even a boo. It's like, oh, those guys.
I don't think it's that at all. I thought they were real. I thought they were funny here.
I don't think that's how it's intended to come off. That's how it comes. Maybe it's my default objection to young people.
Yeah, I think the idea is that they're meant to be like these funny, wacky dudes. And they're meant to be cool. I don't get the cool thing. They are kind of corny. But I do think they are fun and wacky.
No, I think they're just annoying. I don't like anything about the Private Party Act other than their wrestling. I think the music is terrible. I think their rope entrance is kind of dumb. They stole it from Robbie E. They stole the rope entrance from Robbie E.
It's a private party and we're all invited. Which means it's not that private if everyone's invited, by the way.
The theme song contradicts itself.
I do appreciate Hangman Page just like going, your party sucks.
Yeah. Fight you next week with Kenny Omega. MJF comes to the ring and he's like, oh, I'm going to fight you, Cody. Why? MJF is British now. If you give me a cage match and I could beat you with a whip. There you go. That was wrong.
And he also kissed a bunch of women.
As one does. Yeah, this MJF promo was fine.
It's an MJF promo.
It really was. Got the job done. There was a Jurassic Express promo that I don't know what they said because music cut them off at the end.
They were like, oh, we're going to try harder next year. And Marco is a child, I think.
Yes.
Despite being older than Jungle Boy, Marco's gimmick is that he is a literal child.
He is puny. He is a small boy.
And thus, not mature?
Apparently. And yeah, then Jurassic... What's the name of the dinosaur?
Jurassic Express. Oh, fucking Luchasaurus.
Luchasaurus, there we go. It's been. This is what happens to me if you make me go 2 weeks without watching something. I'm like, what are the names of all of these people?
God forbid we ever revisit any of the projects we do in our spare time.
Yeah, Luchasaurus said something, apparently, but they played music over him for some reason, so I have no idea what he said.
Their production stuff, they gotta work on that.
Yeah, it's just like, just cut the background music when these people are talking. What are you doing?
Maybe we're just so used to the production powerhouse that is the World Wrestling Federation that, like, these little foibles are extra noticeable.
I don't know. I watched Impact for... This is just 15 years, and it was never like Impact's production was almost better than this. But next week, we have Rio against Chris Statlander, a tribute to Memphis Legends, the Rhodes Brothers against the Lucha Bros, Sammy Guevara against Christopher Daniels, Private Party versus Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, plus John Moxley answers Chris Jericho. That's a good episode of television.
It feels like they've got a kick in the ass, and they're like, shit, we gotta do stuff.
Yeah.
We can't rest on our laurels, if that is a term used correctly.
It is, and you did. Riho and Britt Baker had that backstage thing. Before we had the Elite against the Lucha Brothers and Pac in a tremendous main event. I love this main event.
But before that, we had the best segment of the show.
What? Hangman Page coming out drunk?
Which was 2 minutes of a production meeting.
Oh,
followed
yes.
By Hangman Page drunkenly walking across the barrier to get to the announce table.
There was a whole thing about JR being like, where are we going? What are we doing? Who's coming up? There's a Rio pre-tape. Are we going to that first? Oh, no, there's a Luchasaurus pre-tape. Then we introduce the matches next week. Then we go to a Rio pre-tape. And all of this happened over like 2 minutes on Fight, where you could hear them working. Like, surely there's a format in front of them. Why do they need this?
To be fair, I never want this to get cut out, though.
No, I always want JR production meetings on air.
Yeah, it's good. And then, like, the warming up of Adam Page, like, hey, there's a cough button. If you need to cough, you can press that.
Page is fine on commentary.
Yeah, I liked the little so you're teaming with Kenny next week, and he's like, oh, that's the first thing I've heard about that. And the other note from Paige in the match was JR asking that he's like, you've been trying to get away from the Elite. And Paige responding with, yeah, I have been trying. So, yeah, he's getting more and more disenfranchised with the Elite and their refusal to let him go.
That leads us into the Elite defeating Lucha Brothers Impact. The Elite are back, Liam. It's fine. Everything's fine. They won this match. This match is great. I love this match. It's a freaking every single one of these matches. It's just like big, dumb six-man tags with loads of moves. And I'm like, yes, this is pro wrestling.
I appreciate these crazy Bucks matches a lot more because we don't get them all the time anymore.
Yeah, when there used to be like four of them a week on the indies, just like Bucks going nuts. But it's like,
so
yeah.
I can appreciate getting a wacky six-man every now and again.
And for a guy who generally loves doing his like overly long epics, Kenny Omega is very good at these matches.
And he hasn't even done the overly long epics since joining All Elite, I think.
Well, the Moxley one was...
Yeah, but that was a different beast.
It was still 40 minutes long.
I suppose that was a New Japan main event if it was billed as a death match.
Yeah, if New Japan did death matches, that would be what a New Japan death match looks like.
So get excited for Lance Archer versus Dean Ambrose.
Which probably at least won't go 40 minutes.
I can guarantee you it won't go 40 minutes.
Yeah, great main event. Great show. AEW's back. They beat NXT this week. Well done.
It really feels like an early AEW show.
Yeah, it felt like we're getting back to basics. We're just having good wrestling and simple angles. And that's it. That's all we need. So the match of the night, for me, it's a six-man main event.
Well, it doesn't really count as a match of the night, but I would say I liked Austin Theory and Roderick Strong more than the main event.
That was last week. It doesn't count.
Well, then the six-man. Well, what do you want from me?
If NXT had that match tonight, it would be allowable.
Okay. Well, then the six-man. Well, which show did you prefer?
Of course, AEW Dynamite, because I definitely watched NXT.
By your own logic, there was no competition, so AEW
wins. They had a show on the air. They had a best of. They just didn't put anything on it.
Ah, yes, we didn't watch the best of, so. Good work, Dynamite. You're back on track. Undefeated in the new decade.
Exactly. We have awards, Liam.
I don't know the results.
Yes,
you wouldn't tell me.
Liam was like, can I know the results, please? And I'm like, no, we must have drama on the air.
Dun, dun, dun,
so Liam doesn't
I'll
know
make
who
a prediction
won.
Of who won.
And yeah, we actually, when we both voted, because obviously I was the first person to vote, and then when I sent it to you, you were the second person to vote, we both voted for different people in every award except for best overall show, which I don't think is much of a surprise. We'll go top to bottom and then back down to bottom, so we'll go through the individual awards and then go to best show. So starting with,
I'm just gonna say, are you gonna go 3-1? Third place, second place.
Sure. Best on interviews during the Wednesday Night War, Liam. Who do you think was the 3-1?
Oh, do you want me to predict the 3-1?
Yes.
Oh, that's way harder because I forget the nominees.
All right, you can just predict who was first.
I'll do a winner and a runner-up.
Sure.
My prediction for runner-up is Cody Rhodes, and my prediction for winner is Chris Jericho.
We had 56 people voting in the Ears of Awards, by the way. Our wonderful listeners.
Thank you.
Cody, number two. John Moxley, number three. Cody, number two. Chris Jericho, number one. There were 6 votes between them, so a decent margin Chris Jericho won by.
Who did you vote for, Garrett?
I voted for Chris Jericho.
I voted for Cody Rhodes.
Because when I sent you this award, you were like, we should name this award after Cody because he's going to win it so easily, and then Chris Jericho won.
Why did you have to out me in this way, bro?
Actually,
they didn't need to know that.
Even worse, I was like, Liam, can you send me 4 nominations from each, and then I'll adjust
this.
And Liam left off this list Chris Jericho, John Moxley, and MJF. He's had like Hangman Page and Kenny Omega on this list.
All right, in my defense, I rushed out the first draft of this, by the way.
Sure.
The first draft, I rushed it out on my phone while doing other things because you were too lazy to do it.
Yeah, well, I was going to fix it. You were going to do the work and I was going to fix it and it's fine.
Well, there you go. And see, they didn't need to know this.
They did, because you didn't put Chris Jericho on the best on interviews
okay,
list.
Okay, and that's the first AEW sweep. I imagine we'll get an NXT sweep coming up.
Interestingly, Keith Lee, 0 votes. Tommaso Ciampa, 0 votes. Finn Balor, 1 vote. Adam Cole, 1
really?
Vote.
Really?
Yes.
All right, whoever's listening, because if you voted, you probably are listening still. Why did you vote for Finn Balor? You can DM us, the DMs are open. You don't have to be exposed, but I want to know why you voted for Finn Balor.
They loved his shoot promo. One second, let me pull up the other awards as well. We'll see. There was two people were in other. I've just pulled up the general results. I forgot to download the other ones, so mm-hmm. we'll see what people
who
put
the,
under.
I'm actually curious about the other. I hope one's Brandy.
Yes, definitely Brandy Rhodes. Brandy Rhodes is the best promo. We had a vote for Wardlow, who has not spoken a word on the television show.
That's good, though.
And,
I like meme votes.
We also had a vote, speaking of memes, for Scott Steiner, who has been on neither television show.
Was that you?
It was not me. Female wrestler of the Wednesday Night Wars. Who won it, Liam?
I'm going to predict Rhea Ripley on popularity runner-up Riho.
Winner, actually, no, we'll get 3-1. Number 3, Riho, with 11 votes. Number 2, Io Shirai, with 12 votes. And number 1, the best female wrestler of the Wednesday Night Wars, is Rhea Ripley with 17. Interestingly, Shayna Baszler finished 4th with 6 votes. And given,
I think I voted for Shayna Baszler, actually.
Yeah, given she was like the dominant force on NXT the entire time, she finished 4th.
Yeah, but voting and year-end awards are a popularity contest. We know this.
I suppose. But yeah, Rhea Ripley is the best female wrestler of the Wednesday Night Wars.
Who did you vote for, Garrett?
I think I voted for Rhea Ripley. I don't remember. I voted for Rhea or Shayna, and I don't remember which.
I voted Shayna. Any others on this one? Any write-ins for... I don't even know who they would write in for.
Jordan Grace, apparently. God damn it, people. Take our votes seriously.
Which Impact fan is writing in this?
Oh, dear. Best tag team of the Wednesday Night Wars. This was a very close vote, Liam. The team that won by 1 vote.
Oh, shit.
So who do you think it was?
I'm going to assume it's the Young Bucks. And number 2, Kings of Strong, Kyle.
Well, I left Roddy out. I specifically stated it's Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. Who finished 3rd? 2nd was the Lucha Bros. 1st was the Young Bucks. 17 votes for the Young Bucks, 16 votes for the Lucha Bros. Very tight.
Did Private Party receive any votes?
Private Party finished 4th, but only with 3 votes. So there was a big gap.
Hmm.
Breezango got a vote. Good for them.
The write-ins.
Okay. The Steiner Brothers and Wardlow.
As a trio?
No, there was two of them. One was the Steiner Brothers and one was the Wardlow.
Is Wardlow voting?
Apparently, he's putting himself... there's a period... Lucha Bros were like 4 or 5 votes ahead at one stage, so they almost staged a comeback.
There you go. A vote worked much like their matches.
Who was the best wrestler of the Wednesday Night Wars? Liam, who was it?
Well, I voted for Leo Rush, but I don't think he won.
No, Leo Rush received 4 votes.
I'm going to guess Adam Cole, baby.
Adam Cole finished 3rd with 6 votes. Roderick Strong finished 2nd with 8 votes. And by a whopping margin with 19 votes, over double the 2nd place, the best wrestler of the Wednesday Night Wars is Chris Jericho.
Oh, well, that makes sense. I was thinking purely of an in-ring perspective.
But yeah, he is truly the MVP of both television shows, isn't he?
Yes.
Would you quit fidgeting with things?
Sorry, my mic broke.
And you've been, like, clicking for, like, the last 45 minutes?
I've been clicking shit. You ain't know me. The fans love it. Any write-ins? I hope Wardlow got a write-in.
We got plenty of write-ins for this one. We got 8, so let's go through them. Scott Steiner.
Mm-hmm.
We got 1 for Phoenix. 2 for Phoenix, actually.
Phoenix was on my draft list, I'll have you know.
I dumped him for, I think, Chris Jericho, who you left off. Who won? Io Shirai.
Oh, yes.
We got a vote for John Moxley, a vote for Cody, a vote for Riho, and another vote for John Moxley. So
there you go.
John Moxley was the one people thought should have been on this list, I guess.
I guess. If the list was five people, he probably would have been.
Interestingly enough, Kenny Omega had two votes. Kenny Omega.
Well, you specifically stated that his dark match stuff wasn't eligible.
Yes, but like people didn't really. No one took that into account.
I did.
Well, you did, and I did, but no one else did. No one listens to me. Best match of the Wednesday Night Wars.
I don't know. Actually, I'm just going to leave it up. I don't know. Give me the top three, baby.
Number three with 10 votes, Private Party versus the Young Bucks. Number two with 14 votes, Nick Jackson versus Phoenix. And number one with 16 votes, the best match of the Wednesday Night Wars so far is Leo Rush against Angel Garza 2.
I wonder if there's a bit of recency bias on that one. I mean, it is.
That's not what recency bias is!
Ugh. The term has been changed. Okay? No, it's not. Evolved. It's modernized now, and you have to accept it.
A financial economics term about how the past or the future is not going to be similar for the past, and we think it will be. Yeah, that's a worthy winner. That was, I think, one of the best matches of the year.
All right. So, what Scott Steiner match got a write-in vote?
The person who wrote
Steiner in versus Wardlow
specifically stated there were no matches involving Scott Steiner. As such, I didn't have a favorite match.
I need to know who this son of a bitch is.
I can probably find their IP address if that helps.
We're gonna dox the Scott Steiner voter.
Emi Sakura and Jamie Hayter versus Rio and Shanna, which is a really good match. And Leo Rush against Oney Lorcan got a vote.
Oney Lorcan.
And then the big one, Liam. What was the best show?
It was AEW.
With 78% of the vote, 44 votes to 12, All Elite Wrestling Dynamite was the better show than NXT over the period of 12 weeks leading into December.
But we had already decided this, so it was a foregone conclusion.
I think the percentage is probably relatively similar to what it's been as well.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Best television show is All Elite Wrestling Dynamite. Best on interviews is Chris Jericho. Best female wrestler is Rhea Ripley. Best tag team are the Young Bucks. Best wrestler is Chris Jericho, and match of the Wednesday Night Wars is Leo Rush against Angel Garza. Those are our official listener awards, Liam.
We did it. We finally awarded.
Oh,
awards low. Damn it.
Ugh, such a good pun. There were so many opportunities.
If only he had have been eligible.
We will be back next week with our regular format because I assume NXT have a proper television show next week. Liam, before we go, where can people find
you? Dynamite's cancelled next week.
Yeah, because it's bad. Oh, it's doomed. Everything is doomed. Liam, internet, where people find you?
You can find me at Larrikin.
There you go.
LARRIKN.
You can find me on Twitter at GarrettKidneyGA or ATTKIDNEY. You can find a podcast on Twitter at WarGamesPod. You can listen to Everything Elite for all your AEW coverage. You can listen to Shake Them Ropes for all your every other television show under the sun coverage. Thanks for listening, and bye-bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.